It's powerful this morning. I can feel the anointing of God. Amen. What is the anointing of God? It's the presence of God. That's what that is, the anointing. It's nothing special other than it's absolutely magnificent. It is the presence of the living God, and I'm so thankful for a church that cultivates it and loves the presence of God. Thank you, worship team. That was anointed. I love it when you're behind the keys, man. You just flow in the keys. You just do an excellent job. Everyone, wonderful. And I told Mike on the little funny-looking guitar on the side, you know, the violin. Thank you. That we're going to switch. I said, I'm going to get the violin. We're going to be in the anointing of God so strong. You're going to preach, and I'm going to do the violin. And that would be a miracle, church. That would be a miracle. I don't even know the name of the funny-looking guitar. Well, my name's Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and I'm thankful to be here. And it's my honor to bring God's word to you today. And what's even better is I'm bringing God's word, and it's 40-some degrees outside. Glory to God in the highest. Yes. Right? 44. Amen. It's wonderful. I'm thankful for a lot of reasons, because when it's really bad out, this place looks empty because it's hard for people to get here. So I'm thankful that you came this morning, and I'm thankful for warmer weather. So I just want to say something off this. It has nothing to do with what I'm preaching about today, but I know all y'all are thinking about it. Let me tell you something. Babies are precious to God. And if you abort them, that is called murder, and God does not like it. God loves babies, and I'm thankful I was not aborted. Okay? I know y'all thinking about it. New York, listen up. Quit killing babies. You will be judged on Judgment Day. That's not okay. New Jersey, quit getting involved with New York. They're all kinds of messed up. Come on now. I love the Midwest, right? I was born and raised in the West Coast, but one thing I love about the Midwest is raising kids here. We still got morals. We still believe in the Word of God, and even in the South, the Bible Belt. It's important. It's important, church. Do not be discouraged in these days. Pastor Cody said it, and it's a verse that we've been saying. God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And guess what? You're supposed to be the light of the world, right? When does light shine the brightest? The darker it gets. Okay? So it's getting dark. Shine bright. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Just want to get that out. If you've ever had an abortion or you've ever known somebody, pray for them. It does not mean you're going to hell. It means God needs to heal your heart. I know somebody. I know actually a couple people that have had an abortion, and it is heartbreaking when you realize that you succumb to the things of the world that says that you should do something as opposed to what the Bible's teaching, because it says that Jesus, or God, he knit us together in our mother's womb. It's important that we have a plan and a purpose for our life, but if we do that, even up to the day, somebody can be getting dilated, and now they put things in place where you can just start ripping a baby apart, and that is not of God. That is a worship of self. That's what that is. We are going to determine what is life and what is not life. If you don't want to have a baby, don't have sex. Okay? If you want to have a baby and you're married, have sex, have a baby. That's how it works. It's biblical. It's in there. Be fruitful and multiply. That's how that works. Find a partner, marry them, love them, have children, raise them in the Lord, and the world will be much better than it is now. Okay? All right. I wish I had a soapbox, because I'm just about to get off of it and get behind the pulpit. Amen. All right, here we are. God loves you. Loves you so much. This month is the month here at First Open Bible. We're talking about passion, right? Anybody got some passion in here? Amen. Amen. I love that about Pentecostals. Passionate, charismatic, passionate people. So let me ask you a question. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? Okay, so the Super Bowl's today. Talk about passion. It's the biggest game in all of sports in America. It's the biggest event in America for all of our sports. So there are people that maybe are going for the Patriots, right? No? Okay. There's people that are going for the Rams, maybe, right? Everybody knows that Brady's going to win, right? That guy's, like, ridiculous. But, see, who doesn't care at all? right, okay. See, everybody's passionate about something. Everybody's passionate about something. And you're not passionate about the Super Bowl. The best thing about the Super Bowl anyway is the commercials. Y'all know it, right? 30 seconds and it's like 2.5 million or something. And crazy. I don't even know the numbers anymore. Inflation is just whoop. It's going crazy. And last week, God gave us a message on walls that we face in our Christian walk. Walls are never easy. Walls are never easy, but they're very necessary in our development and relationship with God. While we face our walls, there will be hard times that we'll walk through, and we can get frustrated, and we can even get discouraged at times, especially when things are just not going our way or the way that we hoped for. Amen? You been there in your life? You might be there right now. Amen? I saw some hands. So maybe we get frustrated with our families or other relationships that we're in because their behaviors never seem to improve. All they seem to do is get more stuck in their ways. Or maybe we're frustrated with our own attitudes and our own behaviors. Paul said it this way: why do I do the things that I hate to do? Why do I do the things I know I'm not supposed to do? And that's why he talks about crucifying our flesh. Maybe we're frustrated or we get upset about our own sin or our own pride or our own stubborn habits. Can I get a stubborn hallelujah? Hallelujah. 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 Maybe school's frustrating, right, teens? Some of y'all listening, some aren't, okay. Maybe it's frustrating when people don't listen to you. Maybe that's frustrating, right? Oh, now y'all listening, okay. School can be frustrating. Maybe you feel trapped or you feel stuck, or maybe it feels like when you're in school you don't do enough, right? Or the people going to college, or maybe even in-stay. Work can be frustrating. We might have a job that pays the bills, but bankrupts our soul. The hours are long. The people are difficult. And they keep trying your patience. Paul talks about it being a thorn in your flesh. It just keeps like, that person just what to do. Maybe they're talking behind your back. Seems like everybody around you is just almost like against you. It feels like you're left out. It feels like you don't fit in. You're struggling with all these feelings when you just want to fit in. And maybe they ask too much of you that's not reasonably possible. Let me tell you this, church. You have more in common with the ones around you than you may realize. Or maybe this is you. You're tired of coping with the strains of single parenthood or the pain of divorce. We're tired of being single when everyone, it seems, around you is getting married. Or the depressing decline of a family member's health. See, the list can go on and on and on. You're staring at this wall and you're standing there. You're trying to push through your wall, but it can be exhausting. Amen? It takes tremendous perseverance to overcome our frustrations at the wall. Sometimes we may stand at a wall and think, am I ever going to get through this thing? Am I ever going to get through this? So I find it helpful when I'm tempted with being frustrated or I'm tempted with giving up, I often turn to the Bible. I had an opportunity to teach at our son's school on Friday morning at their chapel, and hopefully y'all do better than them. The B-I-B-L-E is the book for me. Amen. They're like, God. I'm like, well, not. I mean, he made it. Okay. See, when I get frustrated or I'm tempted to give up or I want to throw in the towel or I'm done with things, I got to get in my word. Why? Because I find it really helpful. And it reminds me of the people that are in this Bible and how they endured, how they accomplished, how they overcame, how they achieved so easily and understandably when they could have given up at their wall, they somehow pushed through. The Apostle Paul persevered in his life. Man, that guy. I mean, it'd be cool to meet to the Apostle Paul someday. Amen? It's going to be cool. I mean, I'd much rather meet Jesus, but he'd be cool to talk to. He pushed through in his life. I mean, think about the things that he went through. Affliction, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, and crazy hunger. Sometimes even thirst. That guy literally was facing walls around him. How many times was he imprisoned? Maybe more than we even know. The frustrations most of us face are far less stressful and life-threatening than those that Paul went through. But nonetheless, my reality right now is my reality. Amen? Your reality and what you face right now, even though it doesn't compare to Paul, it is still your reality. Your wall is still your wall, and you might be standing at it right now. See, the wall I'm at is staring at me right in front of my face. Every day. So maybe we can learn a thing or two from Paul and see how he overcame his frustrations, his failures, even his past, and see how he walked through his wall. Will you open your word? If you didn't bring it today, there's one right in front of you. And if you're in the front row, it's one right below you. We're going to open to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. So one amazing thing I've observed by reading God's word for the past however many years is there is power in your passion. All right, let's not put it up yet. Philippians, we're going to be there in just 1 second. Let's read about how Paul pushed through his walls by the power of his passion. So it's Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 10. We're going to go through verse 10 through 15. I'm reading the NLT version. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Listen, you can't experience the resurrection from the dead until you die. Moving on. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. If Paul's saying to focus on one thing, I want to know what that is. What did you focus on, Paul? Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. And if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. That's my prayer. God will make this plain to you this morning. See, Paul describes something amazing here. Was Paul frustrated? I bet he was. The guy was in prison. That's not very fun. But this tells us something about Paul's heart. Paul tells us that his heart was captured by the greater passion. Paul's heart was captured by the greater passion. His mind was captured by the higher purpose, and his will was captured by a higher calling. He wanted to know Christ and to become like Christ. His passionate purpose fueled his desires, and that drove him for the rest of his life. How could he endure? How could he go through all these things? Wouldn't most people give up? Absolutely they would. A lot of us would say, oh, I would go through that. That's so easy to say until you do. That's so easy to say. For Paul, Christ was the substance of his life. That man never played Christian. He never rode the fence. He was never lukewarm. I mean, he was 100% against Jesus. Jesus straight knocked him on his booty, put him on the ground, and said, I'm going to make you blind for 3 days. And when he woke up, he never, ever, ever turned back. He was on fire, full of passion for the rest of his life, no matter what was in front of him, no matter what wall he faced. See, to preach Christ for Paul was his consuming passion. To know him was his highest aspiration, and to suffer for him was a privilege. The power of your passion will increase your willpower, and it will change your life. Think about it. Whatever you're passionate about, it changes your life. It'll change your life. Good or bad, it doesn't matter. It will change your life. Everyone is passionate about something. But here is the question. What are you passionate about? What is passion? Passion is the energy of our soul. But listen to this. Purpose without passion will lack energy and will lack fire. Passion without purpose will lack focus and will lack direction. People who lack passion for a variety of reasons. I just wrote down four. Four reasons why people lack passion. And in your bulletin, there's a thing there that says notes. And I just heard this again on Saturday? No, Friday night. That you obtain, I'm going to get the stats, but you obtain like 10, 20% if you just listen to it. But if you listen to it and write notes about it and go over them again, it goes up to 50%. And then if you write it down and you listen to it, write it down, and then you teach somebody else about it, you talk about it later, it's 90-some percent. That is why I say take notes, right? Because you walk out, I could ask you, what did I preach on 2 weeks ago? I'm like, oh, snap. I don't know. See, God has a word for us, and he wants us to obtain it. So this is an opportunity to take notes. All right. Four things that people lack passion for. Number one, what happens? Here's one of the reasons. Number one, familiarity. We allow something or someone precious to become familiar, and we take it for granted. Church, for 77 years almost, we've had the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in this church. And there are people that get familiar with it. And we just expect it to happen every week when we forget how precious it is. It's precious. You can walk into another church and you won't get the same feeling. You won't get the same presence. It's possible. We cannot be familiar with that. It's another thing too is don't be familiar with certain people. That's one thing I have to learn as a pastor is don't get people familiar with you, because then when you have to speak in their life, they're like, that's just Harris. Nah, that's not my pastor. That's just Harris, right? We have to focus on not being familiar to certain things that should be precious to us. Number two, second reason why people lack passion is apathy. Apathy is not a state of mind. It's a state of your heart. Without passion, there is no love. Passion becomes something we did and no longer is something that we are. Apathy won't get you anywhere in life. But who really cares, right? See what I did there? Thank you, thank you. I'll be here all morning. Okay. Number three. Passivity. We live in a voyeuristic culture where many people live vicariously through others rather than pursuing their own life. We look at other people and we want to be like them, or we live through their life. A lot of times that's what social media does to us, or even the TV. It's like, oh, I wish I could be like the Kardashians. Nobody should wish to be like the Kardashians. Nobody, right? They have a gift of loving themselves. I don't even get it. Anyway, but we see and we don't. God gave us all a purpose, and our purpose isn't the person to your left or to your right. You have your own purpose. You have your own plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says it. You got to live it. You can't live somebody else's. Number four. This might be perhaps the biggest reason why people lack passion. It's because they have no purpose beyond themselves. They have no purpose beyond themselves. Listen, it's impossible to sacrifice for. It's impossible to suffer for. It's impossible to persevere through something or for someone if it has little value in your life. So here's a fact in life. You're always going to experience frustrations. It's going to happen. It's not necessarily a bad thing. So what do we need? We need something worthy of our passion to fuel us in the purpose of our life. What is worthy of our passion? And if you find that right thing that's worthy of your passion, it'll fuel you for the rest of your life, just like Paul. So are you a person that lives on purpose, or are you a whatever person and let life come to you and just whatever happens, happens? Let me ask you some questions this morning. What is your life's purpose? What is your life's passion? What and who are you living for? Who do you want to be? And what do you want to be remembered for? See, when we can answer these questions just as clearly as Paul could, there's going to be power in your passion. And what will happen? That power will help you push through your wall. It'll help you push through every wall. God desires passionate Christians. 5.5 years ago when we first got here, God gave us a verse, and it was for the youth. I was the youth pastor first before I was the lead pastor. Now they have an awesome youth pastor, Pastor Cody. Great job this morning. Excellent word. Thank you. Romans 12:11 in the NIV says this: never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. God desires passionate Christians. People a little bit seasoned in here, I want to tell you something. You never retire from God. There's no such thing. You refire for God. That's all you do. That's what we all do. We just keep refiring for the Lord. Get that passion. Be full of spiritual fervor and serve the Lord. How do we do that, Pastor? Let me tell you. We got to return to our first love. You have to return to your first love. So in Revelation chapter 2, the first 6 verses, Jesus is warning the church of Ephesus about their lack of passion. He acknowledges these things, which is great. He says, we're not going to read them. He acknowledges their accomplishments. He acknowledges their hard work and their doctrinal purity. He acknowledges those things. But he says something like this to them: you're doing all this stuff in my name, but I don't think you love me anymore. So in the church life, a recent Gallup poll revealed something about the number one factor for a credibility in a church is this: the passion of the pastor. Saying that, people tend to want to hear, follow, and believe what others are passionate about. Did you know that our visitors, if you're a visitor, please stand up. Just joking. I'm just playing. Won't make you nervous for a second. Did you know that our visitors, they had a sermon before this one, and I'm not talking about what Pastor Cody just did. Did you know that they had a sermon before this one right now? The way that you greeted church, treated and loved, and the way that you worshiped the Savior during worship was the first sermon they witnessed this morning. So based off your passions, what kind of credibility did you give Jesus this morning? So I want to ask you again, what are you passionate about? See, when you're empowered by the Spirit of the living God, you will have a deep desire to know Christ and to make Christ known. That is what you live for. It's like, that's all I got to do. That's all I think about. I watch a movie, I see a commercial, I read a billboard, I something. It always ties back to God. I don't know what, I don't know how anything else happens. Every time I experience something, every time I walk through something, a phone call, a situation, something I read that's not even in the Bible, it always ties back to God because I want to know Christ and I want to make him known. It is my passion. Pastor Cody, you heard from God. I believe it. God gave me a similar thing that you touched on. There's somebody in here this morning. Can I have all your eyes real quick? There's somebody in here this morning that you're struggling with your past. It's greatly affecting your passion with God even this very morning. You feel like you're just almost like dead inside. While I'm preaching, there's something just doesn't feel quite right. Something in your past is affecting your passion. I'm speaking to you right now. What we choose to remember and dwell on is vitally important. In here, a lot of times, has everything to do with what's going on in here. What's going on in between both ears really affects what's going on in your chest cavity. And what you choose, it's in that word, what you choose to dwell on is vitally important. It will help us push past and through our wall and growing with Christ, or what it will do is it will cripple you. It's your choice. See, one of the central acts of faith is remembering. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We had communion this morning. It's more important to remember what God has done for us than it is what any person has done to us. Let me say two more verses that we read just a moment ago. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. None of us know how long we're going to be here on earth. We are not, the word says, we're not promised tomorrow. Our lives are like a vapor, like a breath. A day to us is like 1,000 years. It's so small. So forgetting what lies behind is so very important. Paul encourages us all to press on. There's things in my past that could cripple me every day if I want to focus on it. But I must press toward the prize. I must push heavenward. I must go forward. I must press on. I must not look behind and dwell on those things. I must go forward. I don't know what that past thing that is holding your passion back from giving God all that you have this morning. I don't know what that is, but God does, and you do. But may the Spirit of the living God break that thing right now in Jesus' name. May the fire come and consume it. May it burn that tie that is to your heart so it's disconnected. I don't know if you went through some sort of struggle. I don't know if it was your choice or not. I don't know if you're abused or if you're sick or something happened to you. I don't know if somebody said something to you. I don't know if the enemy has been lying to you and you've been believing it and rehearsing it with your mouth and your mind, but be broken by the blood and power of Jesus right now. Be broken. You do not have to live like that any longer. May the things of your past no longer dictate who you are or how you act from this day forward. See, God can fix your passion if you allow him to heal your past. He can fix it. In Christ, we do not need to be prisoners of our past. We get to be partners with God in our purpose. Come on, now that's worth celebrating. See, we don't have to be prisoners of our past. We get to be partners with God in our purpose. Praise God. We didn't deserve it. That's why we have grace. That's what's so awesome about the grace of God. Listen, Where you're at now is not where God wants you, but he loves you where you're at now. And he loves you enough that he's going to get you to that next step, that next place. He's going to bring you closer to him if you allow him to. And whatever that is in your past that's crippling you, let it die. Let it die. Let it die so you can live. So at the end of Luke chapter 9, Jesus, he sets his course toward Jerusalem. He's going to face the biggest wall he has ever faced. He's going to face his destiny that awaits him on the cross. His purpose was clear and his passion was pressing on. As Jesus and the disciples were walking along the road in their journey, they came to two individuals that wanted to claim that they want to follow Jesus. And one of them said this, "But first, Jesus, let me bury my father." And there's another one. "Jesus, first I want to say farewell to the people in my home and all the ones that I love." See, these might be reasonable requests. However, the call of God on our life is often unreasonable. And God, just like every lover, is not okay about a divided loyalty or your divided passions. He wants it all. Love that Paul never played church. He never played with the passions. He was all in. We can learn something from Paul. I can learn something from Paul. Burn the passions that are not of you, God. Light a fire in the one that is. Let me fall in love with you again. Jesus says, as he keeps moving down the road, Jesus says this, "No one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Maybe the reason why your relationship with God is so bad is because all you do is look at what's behind you. And all you do is see the wonderful things that have already happened instead of allowing God to do a new thing in your life. Allowing God in the passion for him to drive you through that wall into what God has for you next. Maybe that's what's going on this morning. So whether you're proud of your past, because some of us have wonderful pasts, or some of us are ashamed of our past, or maybe you have a mix of both. And that's me. I'm in the mix. Jesus, irregardless, Jesus calls us onward and makes the most. He wants to make the most of our days. So I want to ask you one last time, church. What are you passionate about? Do you have passion? And do you have power in your passion with God? Let's let that simmer for a moment. Do you have power with your passion with God in your relationship? Is there power behind the passion you have with God? Is there power behind your life? Do you look different than you did 6 months ago? Is there more passion today than there was 6 months ago? Are you the same old, same old? Do you not have passion? Or do you have passion? Is it burning in you? Do you have power in your passion with God? First Open Bible. You know our vision, and if this is your first time or you haven't been here in a while, it's discipleship. Christians and non-Christians. Everywhere that you go, you're discipling, if you like it or not. You're either discipling people closer to God or you're not. And our job, our calling, our vision this year is to disciple. So First Open Bible, our passions should be loving God deeper. That's what our passion should be. I want to love God deeper. I want to go deeper in his word. I want to go deeper in worship. Anybody in here judges someone else on how they worship, guess what? You got a problem. There's somebody that did that before, and they were barren the rest of their life. Do you want to be barren spiritually because you're mocking somebody who's spiritually giving their all in passion to God? Michael, that's her name. David's wife. What are you doing? You're embarrassing me. Oh, guess what? It's not about you. This is about him. I didn't come to worship God about you today. I didn't come to worship you today. I came to worship him today. Right? If it's bugging you, come to the front. You won't see anybody. There you go. Problem solved. Jump in the river. Come on now. It's like the Jordan River. The Spirit of God is moving up here. Trust me, man. I can't. Sometimes I just like, ooh, come on. I don't even know how not to move. Because the Spirit of God's, if you want to get warm, get closer to the fire. That's all I got to say. All right. Saying that, you're worshiping God like crazy. Make sure it's about God and not being seen by others. So there's a flip side to that, right? If you're going crazy and it's all about you and your attention, you're not giving any glory to God. You're giving glory to yourself and you're distracting other people. And that's a double whammy and you don't want that on Judgment Day. But you do want to worship God. Nobody should be worried about the passion for God. Nobody should be worried about their passion for God unless you don't have any. Our passion should be loving God deeper. And our purpose should be discipling others. All right. Pray, Holy Spirit time. I always write that at the end of the notes. All right. Brent, would you come up, please? Thank you, sir. I'm gonna pray, and then I'm going to ask the Lord to lead me in where he wants to go this morning so he can tell me what to do at this moment. I know there's people in here stirred. I hope you're stirred, right? I hope you're stirred with the passion of God. God wants to fill you with passion. He does. He doesn't want you to look a fool. But sometimes in front of God, you should look a fool because that means the world no longer matters in your life. We need to just quit worrying about what people think. You're not going to stand next to me on Judgment Day. No, you're not. Bill, you're not going to stand by me on Judgment Day. Nope. Nobody's going to stand next to me on Judgment Day. So I need to worry about one person and one person only, Jesus. And am I honoring him? Am I going to make Jesus proud? May that be your life goal. Make Jesus proud. Make him proud. Make him proud with your passion. Make him proud. Amen? Let me pray, and then this is fall to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Father in heaven, we love you. God, we thank you. You showed us what passion was when you sent a baby in a manger. You showed us what it means to go all out, to give all, that your precious son would come for him, one purpose and one purpose only, and to die for our sins on a cross so that way we can have love with you again, God. May we love you again. God, I pray for this church. I pray for all the churches in Cedar Rapids and in this community. Lord, I lift them up to you right now. May the passion and the power of God fall in that place, God. I pray that just like you told us in Revelation, Lord, we can be doing all the right things and we can even be having missions and we can go out and do evangelism and we can go out and show up and fill a pew and or whatever. We can do all these things. But if we don't love you, we have nothing, God. May we fall in love with you again right now. Fill our hearts. Fill our hearts, God. Lord, I'm also reminded that sometimes the only way to fall back in love with God is to repent for the things that you love more than him. Give me, God, for the things that I've put in front of you. Let them line up again, God. May you go to the front of the line. May there not even be a line. Lord, may we love you, God. I lift up each and every person in here that has a past that is crippling them. Crippling them. They believe the lies of the enemy. They rehearse the lies of the enemy. They believe they're always going to be stupid. They're always going to be sleazy. They're always going to be that mess up. They're always going to be bound in jail or going to be a deadbeat or they're going to be this person or that person or they're dumb or whatever it is. That's a lie of the enemy. You are bought with a price, the most precious price. He calls you beloved. He says you're a son or a daughter of the Most High. He calls you his own. He loves you. He bought you with the greatest price there is. And he says that all things can happen if you follow him. He wants to show show you the passion that is deep, deep inside of you. Guess what? You cannot fill it for the world. You will always have that hole that only God can fill. May you fill it right now, God. May you fill it right where they're sitting right now. May they feel the love of God. Spirit of the living God, fall upon them right now, top of the head, bottom of their feet, all the way in. May it be like a lead blanket falling upon them, God. This peace, this wonderful peace falling on them, that they know that, you know what? The world says I'm a mess up, but you say that I'm precious, that you love me. You love me so much. The world says that I have to be these things. I even believe I have to be these things, but you said there's more. There's more to life. There's a purpose in my life. God, that you died for me. Why would you do that? Why? I don't deserve it. There's not one person that has ever lived that deserved what Jesus did, but that's what makes him Jesus. That's what makes him the God that we worship. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. That we deserve something worse, but you gave us love, you gave us passion, and you showed us. Lord, may you fill them right now. God, may you lead me into what you want to do right this moment. God, there's hearts in here right now that need to be healed. They need to be set free. There must be passion again. Fan the flame, God. Worship you. Stir them up. Right now, just have a conversation with God. Just you and him. Don't look around. Don't talk. Don't look at your watch or your phone. Put it away. Don't even matter. It's nothing. It's nothing right now. It'll wait. This moment won't. Just talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Maybe it's a simple, God, why? I don't deserve it, God, why? 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 And let him just whisper, oh, it's because you're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. You've always been worth it. I won't let anyone hurt you again. And guess what? I won't let you hurt yourself again. You're worth it. I love you. He's going to say it with your name. You know, when he took that cross, he thought of you. He knew this day and this moment would happen. He knew, even if you accepted Christ like 40 years ago, he knew that this time would happen. He knew that you would live in this age at this time. You'd live in this area. You'd be listening to this sermon right now. He knew that something must collide in your life, that your past must be gone. You must press forward toward the goal. He knew that you must have something show up. That wall that's in front of you, God wants to push you through it. And maybe it's even today, right now. Prayer teams that are ready, will you just prepare yourselves in the front corners up here, please? I'm going to use you somehow. I feel like you need to do that. Prayer teams that are ready, just go to those corners real quick. Okay. God said a lot this morning, and the gist of it is this: we need passion for God. We need passion for him. So first and foremost, if you've never had a passion for the Lord, and maybe you've been in church, maybe you've been to a church, or maybe this is your first service, whatever it is, that you've heard about it, and maybe you have your own thoughts about it, but there's something different about this morning, that something is touching me today, and you say that I don't have a passion for God. I don't have a passion for him. I thought I did, but what that pastor up there is talking about, I don't live like that, but I want to. And he's going to give you an opportunity. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to be bold, because passion is boldness. Will you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. If that's you today. See people standing up. So I've never really lived like that before, full of that passion. Amen. Amen. 5 more seconds. Here's your opportunity. 4. Stand if you can. 3, 2, 1. Stand if it's you right now. Okay, if somebody's around you that's standing, will you put your hand on them real quick? I'm going to pray for them. Put your hand on them. People right here that need their hand on them. They're right by you. There's some people right behind you, right next to you. There you go. Put your hand on them. By the fire, by the power, in Jesus' mighty name, may passion fill them right now. May they love you like they've never loved you before. May they go out and do the things that they've never done before. May it fuel their purpose right now in Jesus' mighty name. Holy Spirit, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, may you fill them right now with a fire, unending fire. Fan that flame that's in them. May they fall in love with you again like they have not fallen in love with you ever before. God, may you be real and true and alive in their life right now. Now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' name. Thank you. You may be seated. I think there's one or two people in here today that have never truly accepted Christ as their Savior. You've never fallen after Jesus and said, "You're the Lord of my life. I want to give you all. I've been living on my own. I've been living for my own purposes. But something must change in my life. I need a different purpose. I need this passion that I heard this morning." If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to be bold again. I want to pray for you. This is a church. We love people. We love, and this is our most favorite thing in the whole entire world. It says in God's word that when somebody comes to Jesus, he writes their name in the Lamb's book of life with his blood. He writes it in there, and you'll forever be with him as long as he's the Lord of your life. And what happens in heaven is there's a celebration. And what's going to happen in here today, if you give your life to God, there will not be, nobody's going to make fun of you. They're going to celebrate with you. This is awesome. I still remember that day I accepted Christ. It was the best day of my life. I slept the best I ever slept. And all these things that the enemy wanted, it's just gone. Woo! He washed it as white as snow. His crimson blood washed everything from my life. And I was forever, ever, ever changed. That's you today. And you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you have not been following him. And you must have a passion for him. And you want a purpose, a real purpose. Will you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. Be bold. I see that person. Is there anyone else? I see that person. Is there anyone else? It says, today is my day. Anyone else? 5, 4, if that's you, stand up. This is an opportunity. 3, you might not live tomorrow. 2, 1, amen. What did God say? I just said it. How many? 1 or 2 people. How many people are standing? 2 people. God, you're good. You're good. It's 2 ladies. Elders, your wives, elder wives, will you please come and put your hand on them real quick? I want an elder wife on each one, please. Stand with them, please. We're going to pray for you. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And then we're going to do one thing for the whole church before we go. Okay? Okay. What's your name, sweetie? What's her name? Deja? Deja? I meet you, Deja. What's your, and I met you earlier. What was her name again? Sydney? Cindy. Deja and Cindy. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to living forever with Jesus. I'm gonna pray for you right now. And then I'm going to ask you to repeat after me in just a moment, just you two, okay? Lord, I thank you. Celebration in heaven right now, God, and we're celebrating with you. snatch these precious souls from hell, and they're destined for heaven, God. I pray that the journey will not be easy, but God, it says that you will never leave us or forsake us. It says in this journey, God, you're fighting now with us because we belong to you, God. We no longer believe to the world or ourselves. We belong to you, and you are the best father that we've ever had, and you take care of your children. God, I thank you for that. May you fight for them right now. Deja and Cindy, will you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I love you. I give you my life. I give you my heart. And you are the Lord of my life. I want to have a passion for you for all of my life. May you help me in every situation as I pray to you. I recognize that you died for my sins and you were raised from the grave and you're coming back again. I love you. In Jesus' mighty name, I give you the rest of my life. Now make that real with them. Make that real with God right now. You too, just make it real with God. Just talk to them in your own way. You don't have to do it out loud, but do it in your head, do it in your heart. What you have to do, just tell them that you love them. Thank you, God, I love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. Thank you for speaking to me. And God, even if nobody else was here, this was my word today. Thank you for that. We worship you. I just minister to them. Thank you. We have some material for you before you leave to give to you. And we want you to know that if there's anything you need, feel free to call the church, any questions, whatever. You're going to meet some people right by you there too, and they'll be able to connect with you later on if you have anything that you need. If you need prayer, something's going on in your life, we love to pray because prayer changes everything. Changes everything. All right, church, here it is. Here's the ending. Will you stand, actually? Please. Here's how I feel we need to close. Passion doesn't look the same to everyone. But passion should look the same to God. He knows your heart. He knows your personality. He knows what makes you tick. And he knows when you're faking it and when you're not faking it. He knows when you're real. He knows when you're in. He knows when you're out. You can lie to yourself. You can lie to the world, but you can't lie to God. He knows if you truly love him and if you're giving him your passion. He knows it and he wants it. And let me tell you, he will bless it. He will bless it. So we're going to go here in just a moment. And if you want prayer for your passion with God, there are prayer teams at the front here. Lynn and Jerry, we might just scooch in a little bit so they can get in front of you. There you go. Fancy dance moves. Nice work. These people would love to pray for you. Everything that they pray for is confidential. They're not going to go out and tell anybody or anything. Now, if you're coming and there's something that's potentially dangerous or that we need to tell the police something, they'll come and tell me and I will tell. But if it's something that's not like that, they are going to keep that. They're going to give it to the Father. He knows what to do better than anyone else anyway. There's no reason to talk about it. God knows. But they want to pray for you. When they're up there, they want to agree with you in prayer. But here's an opportunity that right now we're going to sing one, maybe two more songs. And I want to encourage you to give God your passion. Give him your passion. Maybe today it's worshiping him a little different than you did before. Maybe it's worshiping him the same, but giving him more of you. Or maybe it's just a simple, Lord, I have repentance in my life that I need to give you. I need to repent right now of this and that and this and that. Because those things have taken my passions and they've replaced the position that you're supposed to be in. God, give me purpose again in my passion. May I have power in my passion. You're going to face hard things in life. You must choose what passion is going to push you in your purpose. Amen? Let me pray for you, and we're going to worship. And then we're going to go, and we're going to change a world. Why? Because the world changer lives in you. He lives in you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this time. And God, I pray that right now that we worship God. May you see this. It says that our worship and our singing, it can be a beautiful aroma, God, lifting up to you. And our prayers can be filling cups up in heaven, and they can be going up to you like sweet incense, God, that these things will go up. But God, I pray that right now, out of a pure heart, may you purify our hearts to worship you in passion right now, God. We give you this last one or two songs, not that we're going to run out because we have things to do or whatever it is, but God, that we're truly going to give you this time to give you glory and you alone, God. Hear more than our words. See our hearts. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.